Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, instead of surfing with penguins, Kevin, we've got a silver surfer guy that looks like Doug Jones, but sounds like Lawrence Fishburne, some kickboxing hotties, and a mystery-solving minor who may be a hottie someday, but we're not allowed to talk about that quite
yet.
She's
only 16.
So, but
we're going to be catching a wave.
We are
going to
be catching, even though he doesn't surf on water, which was my point.
Well, you catch, it's a surf. It's a,
yeah, he's a surfer.
At least they're not like playing Beach Boy music as he's flying around.
That'd be cool. And if Lawrence Fishburne would be like, dude.
That would have been awesome.
Your world is going to end, dude.
Because he's got such a serious tone. If he would have come out, he'd be like, yo, man. They would have had like Jeff Bridges from Surf's Up do the voice as the dude.
As the dude.
Or geek for the Silver Surfer. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes, before we get into all that, let's do some contact information.
Please. How do people get a hold of us, Neil?
They don't.
As have been proven week after week.
Actually, no, we got all kinds. We're going to talk about that later. We got all kinds of fan.
I think it's more hate mail is actually not fan mail, hate mail.
But if you'd like to send us your opinions, obviously you can reach us fatguysatthemovies.com. That's probably where you got us already. You can get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and type in Fat Guys at the Movies in your little search bar. And
Dead Sexy Kevin Carr, and you'll get that.
That'll also apparently make it pop up. You can get us at dig.com. Just go to dig, search Fat Guys at the Movies under podcasts. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and you can hit us on a little bit of voicemail. That phone number is 614-388-8735.
Woohoo! And we do get voicemail periodically. And
we've been getting
just
a couple here and there.
Just from our nemesis is in Chicago. Nemesis.
We killed their show.
Yes, we killed their show. But we'll talk about that later.
That's for Sunday's show.
What we're going to start out right now is with the most anticipated film of the summer, DOA, Dead or Alive.
Yes.
Well, it's anticipated for me because it's got Jamie Presley in it. And she's just
in
totally
tights, kicking someone else.
No, in like Daisy Duke shorts and a little bikini top.
Even better.
I mean, no matter how bad this movie is, I am going to enjoy watching it.
I'm going to enjoy watching it as well.
Here's a clip.
From international spies to elite assassins, the world's greatest warriors.
Welcome to DOA.
Have been brought together.
Fights can happen any place against anyone.
For the ultimate competition.
It's showtime!
Not now, I'm in my underwear.
Seems like you found yourself a special friend. We'll settle up tomorrow, sweetie.
Now, as you heard from that, you know about as much as we do about this movie because they did not screen this for critics, which is never a good sign. I always will say I have given benefit of the doubt, but I now say it is almost never a good sign.
Yes.
Never a good sign.
It's not good.
When they don't screen something for critics. They did not screen DOA, and I have heard through the grapevine that Jamie Presley isn't all that none too pleased with the show either. She's sort of bashed it a little bit in some interviews.
Well, you know, compared to My Name is Earl.
Dude, that's an awesome show.
I know. I love God, I love it.
I love anything with Jamie Presley. Even Ringmaster was good because Jamie Presley played a total slut, always plays.
You and the Trashy Girls. I just don't understand.
Jamie Presley and Bijou Phillips. That would be awesome.
That'd be your Trashy Girl trifecta?
Which I never did give it. Well, that's only two. That's like my Trashy Girl sandwich.
But
I
you would be the third.
Well, no, that's no.
All right, fine, whatever.
The whole thing, I never got a chance to review Hostel either because we missed the Sunday show because you had SARS.
Yeah, we forgot to say that. I'm really sorry that we missed the Sunday show because I'm pretty sure I had a combination of SARS and Super AIDS.
Super AIDS?
Yes, for all of you who have ever watched South Park.
Oh, okay. I'm now terrified because I didn't see that episode.
I had the airborne version of AIDS, but it's all gone now. It's just a sinus infection.
Magical studio in the sky, smeared everywhere. But Bijou Phillips was awesome in A Hostel 2, which I actually kind of liked. You can go check out my review on the site. You can check out the drinking game. We're going to have a drinking game for Fantastic Four.
I'm
pretty sure.
Because it's a PG movie and everybody wants to just go there and get trashed.
Rock on. But I'll tell you, DOA, I don't know anything about it. I'm going to go check it out this weekend. I am hoping there's going to be lots of bikini tops flying around.
Yeah, so we should have a good update for you on the Sunday show, hopefully.
Yes.
We'll see.
But yes. Right now, it gets a tentative. It sucks. It just has to. That's the rule.
Those are the rules.
Let's move on to a future hottie, Emma Watson, right? What? No, Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts. Watson is Emma from... Emma Watson's older.
No, she's not. She's about the same age. No,
that's
Emma
the
Watson.
Girl from Harry Potter.
Yeah, she's about the same age. She's all 16.
Okay, all right, yeah. They're all like 16.
Emma Roberts, Eric Roberts' daughter is...
I need to go wash my hands now because I feel dirty.
No, it's just... what's funny, though, about
now
the
we're
movie,
talking about two 16-year-olds.
Well, I'm just saying the future attractive girls, I'm not looking at them now. Although it is funny, in all the stunts, she suddenly grows hips and gets taller in every
That's
stunt
awesome.
In the movie. It's amazing. Here's a clip from Nancy Drew.
Did you know there's a mystery to this house?
It's one of the greatest unsolved cases of all time.
Everyone who has tried to piece this thing together has run into trouble.
What's the deal with you and Ned?
Do you hear something?
No, I mean, are you two like a thing?
Excuse me, I have to defuse this bomb.
No kidding. Love is a battlefield.
I wonder who tried to kill us.
Yeah, I'm wondering that too. In fact, I'm kind of freaking out about it.
And again, this one, though this one was screened for critics in advance nicely, but I'll tell you, I saw it, Neil didn't have the same.
I was afraid.
You were afraid. You were afraid of Emma.
Of the ridicule that I would incur if I were to be like, I like Nancy Drew. I would take all the girls to the cheerleading squad
Yeah,
to
like
it.
Like you said, I'd take the kids all to Shrek 2 because I'm a pervert. I'm not in the demographic for Nancy Drew. Why? Because I'm not 12 and I'm not a female.
Right. At least you haven't been
I
for
hope
a long time.
At least I have. Yeah. There's that whole trip to the Netherlands.
We all understand.
In the 80s.
It's well documented.
But the thing is, if you are 11 or 12 and you are a girl, this is the movie for you. But outside of the demographic, not really. It's going to be a little bit juvenile. It's not going to be that great.
But, it does serve a little bit of a niche. But, in between now and when Bratz comes out, there's just no 12-year-old girl.
That's
movie
true. And
right
they do
now.
Have OMG in the trailer. They actually have yes. them, they text OMG to each other. The only thing I really didn't like about, aside from the fact that it was just this sort of Disney Channel type movie, even though it wasn't by Disney, they're like, Nancy Drew isn't good enough for them. Let's do the whole fish out of water and let's be so Hollywood introspective and put her in L.A.
Right.
Why? And the reason they did that, in my opinion, they just didn't have a whole lot of story. And they needed to pad it out with a fish out of water story.
Seems to be a recurring theme this summer. Not a whole lot of story. We're just going to pad it.
Yeah, but I'll tell you.
We'll talk about Fantastic Four later, though.
The little kid from the greatest game ever played. He plays her psychic. He is hilarious. Steals every scene. He is. This kid is the kid to watch. He's another Spencer Breslin, and hopefully he doesn't get
right. And he's in upcoming July 4th weekend, License to Wed. He plays Robin Williams' little
He's a great kid. Altar boy. He's a great little actor. So this one, for me, it's sort of a kind of sucks, but that's, if you're a teenage, if you're not even teenage, younger teenage, it's going to rock.
I would say for the demographic, it looks pretty good. I'm not going to see it, but then again, I'm not the target audience.
Until you start bringing kids from the playground. But we'll talk about that later. We got to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to review Fantastic Four.
And welcome back to Fat Guys the Movies. We're gonna review Fantastic Four here in a second, but first
I hear you have something to get off your chest.
I'm so angry.
Okay.
Again. This is
last week was such a nicey nice show.
There's gonna be an article about this on Film School Rejects where I go into much more detail about how much some studios absolutely suck at handling various different types of press.
Tell us how you really feel.
So when we talk about newspaper critics versus online film critics versus people who are on the radio, allegedly there are some studios, Fox, who only believe that newspaper critics matter because there was not only
newspaper but major dailies.
Just because major daily newspapers.
I show up in newspapers. They're smaller newspapers.
Yeah, you show up in like the Wichita Sun.
That would
Chronicles
be the Blue Ridge Tribune.
Exactly.
The
it's
Detroit
not even from
Lake,
a city. Like,
Detroit Lakes Tribune. They're all Tribunes.
Yeah, the Kevin,
not just Chicago
the Kevin Carr's WeeklyTimes.com. Whatever. But anyways, there was a little screening debacle here in Columbus, Ohio, here in flyover country. And we all showed up, and we were not allowed entry. Even though I do understand... To preface, we were invited kind of verbally to a secret screening that was only for the local newspaper in town, Major Daily Columbus Dispatch. They're great people over there. I don't blame them. I don't blame our local local press office either. They were kind of stuck in the middle.
It was an order handed
down. But the studio pretty much called in and said, hey, listen, only the guys from the Columbus Dispatch are allowed to go in. All those other guys who have huge reach all over the world.
The unwashed.
They are absolutely no good to see Fantastic Four 3 days earlier than they were supposed to. We still saw it before
2 days. 2 days earlier.
Yeah, it was Tuesday. We saw it on Thursday. So that's insulting to me as an online critic and somebody who works very hard to
supposedly the reason is it's not piracy because the people who are pirating movies are doing it in the Telecine labs. That's where they're striking these prints from.
Right. I think it's more studios don't like the uncontrollability of the internet.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna just randomly post stuff. I'm sorry. We do not post anything that we do not get cleared. We try and conduct ourselves
as
professionally as a daily or a magazine or anybody. And I think that's a cheap cop out.
Most studios request that you hold the review at least until the day before it opens, and usually the day it opens,
which is normally fine,
and that's cool.
I'm sure our listeners don't mind,
and we do that.
Yeah,
and most online critics, except for the whack jobs who just kind of like throw things out to like, you know,
but most of that stuff's
that's not
fans writing in. And
that's
stuff
like fanboys who sneak into like your promo screen.
Yeah,
and stuff
it's
like
not
that.
Those. They're not real press. We in the press corps of cinema have a verbal agreement with all the studios. Hey, we're not going to run our reviews early on you because that is just the deal. When you get into this business, that's the deal. And apparently, they don't think we're good for the deal.
Well, and here's the thing with Fantastic Four in particular. The first movie has a 26% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. 26%. The movie made tons of cash 2 years ago. It was not at all harmed by negative reviews. Even negative reviews on a movie like that serve as promotional. And
it was
and
like
stuff
Spider-Man.
Like that.
Yeah. I went out there, one of the most influential voices in film, and said it was a terrible turd of a movie. People went to see it. It broke all kinds of records.
Broke all these records. And
you guys showed me.
Yeah, but the whole point is you added to the press of it, and people are going to be like, who cares what Neil Miller has to say? That guy's an idiot. I'm going to go watch the movie for myself and determine that it's a decent film.
Right.
Or not, you know.
And then I accepted apologies afterwards.
That's right.
So,
yeah, whatever.
There you go.
Your mom.
But anyways, let's talk about Fantastic Four. I'm done ranting about Fox
Studios.
Okay,
so yeah.
They need to
you
get their
got it
together.
Off your chest.
We'll figure it out someday. Someday. Online press will rule.
That's right. Let's put this aside for right now and just listen to a clip from Fantastic Four.
As you may know, there have been unusual occurrences all over the world.
These were taken by one of our spy satellites 3 days ago.
We need a way to locate and intercept that object.
What is it?
We were hoping you could tell us.
Here.
That's bad.
That's really bad.
So there you go. We got Fantastic Four as the movie. I have to say, I love the first one. I thought the first one was just a lot of fun. And there are so many movies, superhero movies, that they make to be more darker, edgier. They're trying to get this certain spin to it. And I thought the first Fantastic Four, with the exception of changing some of the story, I think for necessity's sake, with like especially Doctor Doom,
I guess.
I thought it really captured the flavor of the comic from the 70s and the 60s, that sort of original Fantastic Four, kind of cheesy, a little bit corny, very kind of funny and a little humorous at times. I thought they really captured it in the first movie. This one I liked. I didn't like it as much as the second, as much as the first one, but for a sequel, I was pretty impressed. And I have to say the Silver Surfer was cool as all get out.
Well, the Silver Surfer is a very cool character, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a good movie. Venom was in Spider-Man. That was a crapshoot.
Okay, enough with the Spider-Man whining. Shrek's a good character and Shrek stunk, so... Shrek 3.
Not relevant.
Whatever. Come on.
Anyways, I like the Silver Surfer. Very cool character. I thought he was very well done. The film itself was... I don't want to say it's disappointing because I expected it to pretty much suck.
Well, I don't think it's...
But it was...
You know what you're getting when you go see this movie.
Let me speak.
Okay, go.
It's kind of, to me, one of those throwaway weekend movies. If you really have interest in seeing it, go see it. Don't be surprised if you're not overwhelmed with it. But if you're really not that interested and you're going out to the movies, go see something else. Wait till this one comes out on DVD, because it's not amazing. It's not especially, it takes forever to get into the action.
I gotta disagree.
The acting
with
is
that,
bad. The dialogue is terrible. The story's really thin. No, then when they get to the action, it's okay. But throughout the whole movie, I was like, nah.
I'll give you all of that. I thought the acting was kind of lame, but I mean, look at the actors. They're not great actors. I mean, Michael Chiklis is good, but he's playing a caricature. The dialogue's corny and silly, and the plot's kind of thin, but don't wait for DVD on this one, because it's cool to watch on the big screen. I mean, there's some pretty cool stuff going on.
If you want to see some cool on the big screen, save your money for Transformers.
Oh my God, like that's going to have a... Oh yeah, like there's. You're telling me that the acting's going to be great in Transformers, and there's going to be a great plot in Transformers, and the dialogue's going to be awesome? Watch the trailers.
No, less there's plot is more. Do you hear me, Michael Bay? Cut more out
no,
of the
I
plot.
No, I know, but he's going to have a half hour of plot before... It should be like 5 minutes, and then robots blowing things up. That's all we want, but he's not going to give us
I expect a little bit more out of Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Fantastic Four I thought was exactly what
I wanted
to
more
be.
Jessica Alba.
Well, yeah,
I think
we
that's
always
where
want
this all
more.
Boils down to. I think I agree with Lucas from Film School Rejects, who wrote our first review that's up on the site. He said that there's no one that can make Jessica Alba more unsexy than Tim Story, and I agree, because we needed more... Susan Storm looking hot.
She still looked hot. I'll give it.
She looks good, but every shot of her is like from the neck up.
Ah, she looked good. Got a couple of nice butt shots. But we got to move on.
I disagree.
I say it rocked. I'll throw it a rocked on that one.
I'm going to say kind of sucks. Yeah, it wasn't a full-blown full of it suck, but it sucks pretty bad.
Well, we got to move on. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up in the next couple weeks.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette when you kiss me.
All right, we're back at Fat Guys at the Movies. We're just going to have a real quick segment here talking about what's coming up in future shows and in the second half. Future Neil and I just got back from seeing Air Guitar finals.
Dude,
in
that
Columbus,
was awesome.
Which is awesome. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
I think
the,
Fantastic Four
weekend.
Got saved a little bit by the Air Guitar thing.
You were happy.
It kind of softened me up a little bit. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have killed that movie.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, that's the way you are. So you've got hate in your heart, and we'll live with that. But in the second half, we're going to be talking about some entertainment news. We're going to give a quick review of Fido, which is one we missed in the first half here. We're going to talk about trailers of the week and talk a little bit about top 10 lists, have a response to the top 10 list we had last week, and a brand new top 10 list for you guys to chew on. And we'll catch you on the other side of the hour.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're into our second half hour, which means time to continue drinking.
That's right.
I guess. But before we get in, we're going to do some...
You're drinking Propel Fitness water, Neil.
Well, I drank a lot before. we're going to do some news. We're going to do my new segment, Trailer of the Week. But before we get to all that, we have one more movie to talk about, which actually is one of my favorites from the whole year. And I think we can agree on this one.
This is what we agree
Fido.
On.
This, Fido. We saw this at the Columbus Alive Film Festival.
Well, that's where you saw it.
You saw it before at the 24-hour sci-fi thing. But
24-hour science fiction marathon in Columbus
Alive. I have to tell you, I've never seen a zomcom before.
Yes, you have. What about Shaun of the Dead?
Well, Shaun of the Dead was like more of a parody of
Shaun of the
Dead's movies.
A zomcom. You got you know, Night of the Living
Dorks.
This
was a different take, though. That's the My great part about Fido. I mean, it's a unique look at a society, American society, where they have zombies as like pets or servants or slaves. And it's just this great comedy. I think Billy Connolly, who plays the main zombie, plays Fido, just makes the whole movie. Yes.
Well, let's hear a clip real quick.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, boys and girls. So how many of you have ever had to kill a zombie?
Well, not too many.
Who names their zombie anyway?
Mr. Theopolis has a name for his.
I bet he does.
Nicely done, Tammy.
So without my job, we'd all be dead. And then where would we be?
Dead.
That's right.
So there, yeah, zomcoms. You haven't seen a whole lot of zomcoms. And
I guess not.
That's... I've seen so many horror movies, I'm tired of seeing zombie movies. But what's so great is recently they've been doing some unique things with zombie movies, and Fido's a great example of it.
Right. I love the creativity. It is so hard, especially if you're halfway through this summer and we've seen sequel after sequel after freaking sequel, and to get some originality. And I think mm-hmm. Fido is that originality. Just like Waitress kind of spelled us in May.
Well, I don't know about that.
Fido is your summer originality moment.
I wish Fido would eat Carrie Russell in Waitress. That would be great.
Yes.
I would have supported that.
What?
Yeah, I hated Waitress. but Fido's a funny movie. And the reason Fido's a funny movie is because it sort of takes the zombie story and goes farther than Romero ever went with it, and it doesn't go down the apocalyptic path. It goes down to this more, suburban kind of kitchen sink path, which is really, really clever, and it's funny.
Right.
Like you said, Billy Connolly is great. Actually, probably one of his better acting jobs.
Yeah.
Because he sort of blows hot and cold. He sometimes just plays the wacky Scotsman.
Right.
Or whatever he is. He's Scottish.
Yeah, I loved him in Boondock Saints. But he was only in it for like 5 minutes.
I know.
So, but, and then another great character, Tim Blake Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
He's like this creepy neighbor who has like a zombie girlfriend.
As a hot zombie girlfriend that he saw have a stroke and then quickly bought her body so he can keep her zombie. It's a really twisted comedy.
It's a really twisted comedy, very intelligent comedy. So if you like comedies that kind of kick, I say go see it. It definitely rocks.
Check it out.
It's definitely in my top 10
rocks.
So far this
year. I don't know if it's your top 10, but definitely check it out. It's good.
I agree.
All right.
So moving on.
Are we going to do box office predictions now?
Yeah, let's do some box office predictions. So we're looking at what's coming out this week. Obviously, Fantastic Four.
You don't think Nancy Drew's going
to
win?
You've already made a bold statement about Fantastic Four, I might add. And this is going to come back to bite you, I think.
$60 million, dude.
So Kevin thinks $60 million. I'm more in the under 40. I don't care where it finishes. It's going to be under 40, maybe 45 if it gets lucky. I think the market is too diluted. Surf's Up is adding screens.
Yeah, granted, it's Surf's only three, but it's bombed. I mean,
Surf's Up's adding
it,
screens. But Knocked Up is adding more screens. Ocean's 13's not changing. Shrek and Pirates are going, you know, they're pulling out of theater. They're pulling out of screens, but that's no big deal. Those movies are such huge releases. Fantastic Four is a big release, but I don't think it has the power, and I don't think the market is right for it to do $60-70 million.
See, I actually disagree on that, and I'll tell you why. Because Ocean's 13 was a kitschy, fun movie. I don't think it's going to have the legs. It's a cute movie, and it's going to drop off. That was the biggest thing last weekend. Surf's Up and Hostel kind of bombed for what they were expecting on either of them.
Right.
And, if you talk about the big event summer movies, we haven't had one of those out since Pirates, and that was a couple weeks ago. Pirates is dwindling fast. Spider-Man's pretty much done. So you got
Oceans
superhero.
And Knocked Up, and you got
there's a lot of stuff out there, but it is up against DOA and Nancy Drew. Those are the only other big things.
Right.
Niche
and DOA is
and
very
a movie
small,
that nobody's going to see.
DOA is a very small release. Nancy Drew, a pretty mediocre release at 2600 theaters.
But I'll tell you, the current buzz right now is over $50 million for Fantastic Four. I think it's going to do 60. I think we got a good, because we have it's one of the first weekends of the summer, actual honest to God kids out of school summer. I think you're going to get a lot of people seeing this movie because it's the big fun summer movie. I remember 2 years ago when Fantastic Four, the first one, came out, it did better than people ever expected. And I remember talking to some critic at one of the screens. They're like, can you believe it hit $100 million already? And I'm like, well, yeah, I kind of liked it. So I think it's going to do well. I think it's going to surprise some people.
I'm voting against it.
Yeah, but that's because you're mean.
Yeah, I'm still mad at Fox. I hope they don't make any money.
Let's move on to entertainment news.
First up in entertainment, no, I want to do my trailer first.
Okay, do your trailer.
Trailer of the week.
Like 2 minutes. Let's go.
Is a trailer for No Reservations with Aaron Eckhart, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Abigail Breslin. I picked it this week because it was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Like,
because you're hot for Aaron Eckhart.
All right, I'll buy that.
Harvey Dent, man. Just because he's associated with Batman.
Yeah. So a very good trailer. Check it out. We'll make sure that it's posted up on Film School Rejects.
Does Catherine Zeta-Jones kind of reek of Michael Douglas at all in the movie?
No. She's really kind of making a comeback as a sexual figure in this movie. But it's about, she plays a chef.
Way too much Michael Douglas loins on her. Really make it worthwhile watching.
Anyways, the movie, though, she plays a chef who is a perfectionist and doesn't know how to handle life, and then her sister dies and leaves her the kid, who's Abigail Breslin.
Oh, my God. Oh, at least it's Abigail Breslin.
And so the kid, she has to learn how to deal with the kid, and then Aaron Eckhart comes in and, like...
And when do we teach the true meaning of Christmas to everybody?
I don't know. Haley Joel Osment will show up at some point.
Yes, and they'll hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
But...
And then he'll break in and say, I tell you what, though.
It looks funny, and those are two actors that I really do like. Yeah, three. I'm sorry. Okay. Abigail Breslin's really, really good.
You're getting great young actress.
So, anyways... Let's talk about your news.
I got great news. Because
we skipped
awesome
over you last show.
Yes. So. Well, first of all, we were talking about Hostel. We did a brief mention of Hostel earlier. One of my favorite Hostel stories that came out, Eli Roth has come out and said he fantasizes about torturing Kate Hudson on the big screen. On the big screen. I mean, he doesn't want to the screws to her. I guess you just really kind of showed your hand there. Because he tortured Bijou Phillips and Jordan Ladd in his movies, he wants to take the screws to Kate Hudson. And he has the best quote in the world. I just have to put it out there. This is from WEN News via IMDb. He says, quote, I'd love to torture her. But then again, sitting through one of her romantic comedies is its own form of torture. If I had to choose between watching Raising Helen or vomiting because of something I'd seen on screen in Hostel Part 2, I'd pick vomit every time.
Oddly enough, if I had to choose between those two, I'd pick Raising Helen.
Not a whole lot of people chose vomit last weekend, at least. So, you know, maybe Cell will be better.
Yeah,
My other entertainment news is Indian health officials have begun handing out free condoms outside 800 pornographic movie theaters. And A.K. Anant, I think he's a health official, has said, quote, the migrant population will stop watching pornographic movie or visiting sex workers because they won't stop doing it. And I want to know, why don't porno video stores have sex workers working in them in America, too?
I think that's because hookerism is illegal here.
Well, but I love the fact they're handing outside porno. It's not like they're handing it outside brothels. They're handing it outside porno theaters. And I'm like, well, gosh, there must be there is actually a place out, if you go towards Youngstown from Cleveland, in Ohio, where there's this, what I call the trifecta of adult entertainment. There's a dirty bookstore, a strip club, and a massage parlor, like right in a row, all kind of in the same building.
And Kevin Carr has officially shown his hand.
I see it every time, and it's like, I've got to go there and check it out, see what it's like.
Okay.
All right, we got to move on.
I think that's enough news.
All right, let's move
on.
I'm
totally spent.
Yes. And, we got to go to a break. We'll be back with Top 10 List. Bye. We are back with Fat Guys at the Movies, and in this segment, we're going to do our new kind of weekly feature, not ripping off David Letterman at all, because this is radio, not television.
And David Letterman sucks.
And David Letterman, yeah, goof. We're doing top 10 lists. Now, last week, we had two top 10 lists.
Right. We did. We wanted to come out with a bang.
Yeah, because we wanted to latch onto the Hostel buzz, which made 8 million songs.
Right, it's big on the internet, though.
Brilliant move on our part.
We rule the internet, you know, whatever.
We had the top 10 torture scenes and the top 10 ultraviolet movies of all time. And we got quite a bit of feedback on the top 10 ultraviolet movies.
That we did.
Yes, and one of the biggest things I think people were complaining about, whenever you do these top 10 lists, and if you get any sort of notice on them, 90% of the feedback you get is, what about this movie, man? This movie should be on there.
This list sucks because this movie's not on there. It's some obscure film from like 1972.
Yeah. And the one I heard the most, if you want to know what it is, go back to Film School Rejects, go listen to last week's show or iTunes or something like that, and listen to the top 10 list. I'm not going to repeat it because, you know, we did it last week. But the big thing I think I heard more than anything else is people like, where's Ichi the Killer? Where is Ichi the Killer on these lists? And I'm going
to respond to
that. It forced
you to spend your hard-earned money to go out and rent Ichi the Killer.
I've seen Takashi Miike's stuff before, and I'm not a huge fan of Takashi Miike's. I think he's sort of just odd for odd's sake. And I'm not impressed with his violence. I think his violence is very cartoony and just disturbing but misplaced. And I'm just like, I'm not a huge fan of his stuff. So I went out and watched Ichi the Killer because that's the thing. Ubiquitously, everyone was saying Ichi the Killer should have been on that list. And I am glad I didn't put it on this list because Ichi the Killer is like, it would be like putting Goodfellas on the list because Goodfellas is a violent movie, but it's a gangster movie more than a violent movie. It's not an ultra-violent film. And although Ichi the Killer is sort of this exploitation of violence, and it's got a lot of just weird, crazy, extreme, and awful stuff, but it's sort of like a Roadrunner cartoon or a Daffy Duck cartoon with him getting his bill thrown off. So, I mean, I agree. It's a very violent movie. This is all the fans out there. It was a very violent movie. But I think what I was going for with this list was much more of the it could happen to you kind of list. Because you got stuff like The Last House on the Left and The Hills Have Eyes and Texas Chainsaw.
Last time I drove through Nevada, I got mutants attacking my car, too.
Excuse me, that was New Mexico.
Whatever.
You went to the wrong state.
I didn't even see the movie.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay, but today we're going to do the next top 10 list in honor of Fantastic Four, the top 10 things that have tried to destroy planet Earth.
This is going to be fun.
This is fun. Hey, you know, this and some of them succeed, actually. So, well, number 10, the Warlock. Julian Sands as sort of the prissy little Warlock in the movie. Warlock, starring the girl from Footloose, who then turns old. It's a good little, it's a cute little horror movie. I actually saw it in the theaters. I actually caught it in its theatrical run. He is a warlock who's trying to undo creation so he can have Satan come out and redo creation in his own image. So that's number 10. Number 9, this would be kind of something you probably saw as a kid. The Dredge, I think is how they pronounce it, from Titan A.E. Have you seen that movie?
Titan A.E. is a big, very popular film.
Very popular. In fact, when we did the animated...
We almost got killed for
yeah,
not putting
like,
that on.
Where's Titan A.E.,
top
10
animated films of all time.
Even though I thought Titan A.E. was kind of lame, mostly due to Matt Damon. But
I've seen worse movies
it's visionary.
With Matt Damon.
The thing with Titan A.E. is visionary, but it's kind of also kind of lame
okay.
at the same time.
All right, but it you know they tried to blow up the planet.
It was good. So. Well, no, they did. They blow the alien energy rays wiped
out.
Dude,
we're almost at like at destruction 2, non-destruction 0.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. No, okay. Now number 8, Galactus from Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer. That's this weekend's movie, and he's because he's a planet eater. That's what he does.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
He eats planets, and you know it's and if you read the comics, it's a big deal in the comics as well.
Right.
Number 7, Ice Nine. From originally brought out in Cat's Cradle, but put in the movies in the film The Recruit with Al Pacino and Colin Farrell. Ice Nine is a special isotope of ice, basically, that will freeze at room temperature and it would wipe out the planet. Not any love for The Recruit, but just I'm a huge Vonnegut fan and the fact that it showed
up. It had Colin Farrell in
it. That's not why I liked it. I mean, I thought it was just cool that they did Ice Nine. That's why I put it as number 7.
All right, fine.
Not number 9, number 7.
Yeah.
Number 6, the asteroid from Armageddon.
Yes, because it's a badass asteroid.
Well, that's the thing, because it's not the comet from Deep Impact, because that thing was like a puny little 7 miles across. The asteroid in Armageddon is the size of Texas, as Billy Bob Thornton points out.
Because Michael Bay doesn't do anything small. Yeah,
it's a Michael Bay movie, so
it is
we have
a Michael Bay asteroid.
Massive asteroid.
And I think it should have been number 1.
Well, I don't know if I... Now. No. Number 1, you should agree with. Now, number 5, you have no idea what I'm talking about because you're an idiot. The Daleks from Doctor Who.
Yeah, I don't watch that.
Big fans out there. Like,
you know, there's big Doctor Who fans that I'm sure listen to us.
Yeah, so. And the Doctor Who, they wiped out the Time Lords and the Time War, and now they were sneaking behind the planet. They were hoping to wipe out the Earth because they just exterminate anything that's not Dalek. And they're little salt shakers that zap people with death rays. It's really kind of cool.
Salt shakers?
Well, they look like salt shakers. They're bigger. They're the size of a tall as a guy.
Okay.
So
I can get behind
the
salt
Daleks
shakers
rock,
that are going to
man. Now, number 4,
Earth.
You have to go behind me on this one. You like this. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, a.k.a. Gozer.
Oh, yeah.
From Ghostbusters.
Because Ghostbusters is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, it came out when you were like 2.
Something like that. Yeah. But the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, I had one of those. Like, I had the backpack and the firehouse, and I have pictures. My mom dressed me up as Stay Puft Marshmallow Man for Halloween once. It was the coolest costume ever.
I dress up as Stay Puft Marshmallow Man every time I get naked to take a shower.
There you go. See? I did it for Halloween. You do it every day every other day.
Well, every couple days, every week or so.
Yeah.
Whether I need it or not.
Anyways, moving on.
But they were chosen. That was what was chosen to destroy the world. And number 3, the Vogons from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. These are ones
that
actually
this is
did.
Probably the only time that movie will ever make a top 10 list of any kind except for top 10.
The Vogons came in and they destroyed Earth, and then that moved along. Arthur Dent, I think was his name, who moved on to the...
Right.
On. Now, number 2, you're a big fan of this guy. Human Beings and Automobiles from The Inconvenient Truth. As Al Gore is trying to say, we are destroying the environment with automobiles.
That's kind of a vague one, but it totally works when you bring in Al Gore.
Number 1, drumroll please. even though we don't have one. Pretend. Marvin the Martian from the Bugs Bunny cartoons. In his first appearance, Hair Devil Hair was, of course, the first time he wanted to blow up Earth. Now, do you know why he wanted to destroy Earth?
I have no idea.
It obstructs his view of Venus.
Oh, he's a big fan, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. But you know, at least it didn't obstruct his view of Uranus.
Well, okay. I was going to, yeah.
I beat you to the punch.
There's really nothing else I can
say there.
Marvin
the Martian. Marvin the Martian, one of the most beloved characters in science fiction and in cartoons.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool one. I would say that's a very...
That's a good number
very
one.
Very intelligent list. I don't think people are going to agree with it at all.
Yeah, people will come back and go, hey, man, what about this? But the thing is, these are things that actually tried to blow up the Earth, destroy the Earth, not wipe out the Earth. Like, you can say the aliens from Independence Day or War of the Worlds, but no, they wanted to use the Earth...
Right. You know, these are actually people trying to blow up the planet. Yeah,
they want to use it. They just want to get rid of the humans. These are all things that have tried to destroy the Earth.
Okay.
Honorable mentions, pretty much any James Bond villain around.
Yeah.
At some way. Dr. Evil trying to, you know, drill into
the magma.
Core. Magma. And black people from Birth of a Nation.
You're such a racist.
I'm not a racist. was it D.W. Griffin who did that? That's the guy who's a racist. The movie's about Klansman. I've never even really seen it, but it obviously has a message that black people are bad.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying I agree with it.
Well, white people actually made the list. Because they're
that's
ones
right. Well, just human beings in general. So people are on there twice. And
yeah.
That's it. But I think we got to take a break now, and then we can wrap up the show.
Absolutely.
And we're back with Fat Guys at the Movies. We're wrapping up another show, and let's do a quick review recap. Of course, Fantastic Four is a big movie this summer. I said it rocked. You said?
Kind of sucks.
Well, that's because
that's because it kind of sucks.
It's because you have hate in your heart.
No, that's just real truth. I'm the honest to God's truth.
It's
you're
the only movie you've seen this week that really matters.
It's pretty much the only movie I've seen this week.
Let's go to the other one that you've actually seen. Fido, I said it rocked.
Definitely rocks.
Definitely rocks.
Can't disagree with you
that's
there.
The one that we agree on. Nancy Drew, you couldn't stomach. I said it kind of sucked. But if you're a teenage, like preteen girl, teeny bopper.
Right. So I probably would have liked it.
Yeah, if you're, you go get some of your girlfriends in. Then, of course, DOA, just a preemptive sucked because they didn't.
Yes, thank you for not screening it, whoever distributed that
the
one.
The Weinsteins.
Oh,
the
go
Weinsteins.
Figure.
Idiots. They don't know how to make a movie.
Yeah.
What do we got going on next week in future shows?
Funny that you should ask, Kevin, because we have all kinds of stuff going on next week. On our Sunday show... we will be rocking your world, talking about Air Guitar Nation, one of the best documentaries out there right now. Also about our time that we had hanging out with Bjorn Turok, the lead star of Air Guitar Nation, and the United States Air Guitar Tour, which is currently all over the United States. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk more about...
We're going to do air radio.
Yes, we're going to do some air radio.
We're just going to move our lips.
We're
going to
do... We're going to be air fat.
That's right.
It's going to be fantastic. And we're going to have all kinds of other cool topics to talk about. So,
and what movies are we looking at?
And then next week on our weekend show, we've got Evan Almighty. We've got 1408, which is that creepy John Cusack movie. We've got A Mighty Heart, which is Angelina Jolie as the wife of the guy who actually did
Daniel
get beheaded.
Pearl.
Daniel Pearl. Yeah. Yes.
In case you didn't know in case you don't know how the movie ends, he gets beheaded.
Yeah, just allegedly. And of course, a couple of funny stories from screenings because we got a funny one for A Mighty Heart.
That's right.
But
again, if you want to reach us, fatguysatthemovies .com. Look us up on iTunes or on dig.com. fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Voicemail 614-388-8735. That's 388 Trek. Or at 235 or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Said something.
You've lost it.
Whatever. Anyways, that's it. We're wrapped up another show.
Adios. Peace.